Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions, affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it. And it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's join, joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life. Hey, y'all, you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to become curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. Look, we homeschool our son. No doubt about it. He's more of a visual learner, and we use IXL, and Cindy teaches him, and there are so many different benefits to the program. It adapts to exactly what he needs in different areas. So IXL is the perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum. IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational games, lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead like our son, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. Kids love IXL's positive feedback awards and educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And don't forget, Real Life Real Crime listeners get 20% off. Y'all, we really do use this product, and it's been a godsend. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life Real Crime Daily for Wednesday, October the 16th. Ooh, and I'm your host, Woody Overton, and with me today is my bride, Cindy Overton, and you got Tuesday's episode of The Daily Show, Jim Chapman by himself. Once again, the things happen and forces that be couldn't come together, but it's all right. We love you, Jim. We appreciate you covering that for us. And we're going to be recording today's episode and tomorrow's episode.
That's right.
So, and it's October the
16th,
which means October is halfway over, right?
That's right.
Trick or treat, motherfuckers, right? I used to love me some Halloween.
What's your favorite costume?
I was just thinking, I knew you were going to ask me that. As a little bitty kid, we had the little cheap ass costumes with the the plastic mask with the string in the back.
Yeah.
But I love my little Spider-Man one. I was Spider-Man. But I really like Dracula. I was Dracula. And I had the fake teeth. Which was a big fucking deal. And then we'd go trick or treat. I got my ass beat. Ooh, we were just popped in my head. We were going door to door. And my mom was with us, and it was a bunch of us kids, right? And I learned something funny at school, and I went up to the door, and of course, my mom knew the people. It was a small town, and I knocked on the door. They opened the door. I said, "Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat." Ooh, wee! My mama beat my ass. Don't you ever say that? And of course, she's prim and proper. And when she waited till we got away from the door, she beat my ass before we got back in the van. Don't you ever say that? And then getting back and pouring out all the candy on the floor before they had razor blades and shit, and the candy and poison. Pour it all out on the floor and then trade with your brothers and sisters and shit. Love me some Halloween. And then as I got older, it was always Bourbon Street, New Orleans, and different places, or some places I won't even talk about. Private parties, underground clubs, and stuff like that back in the day. Don't laugh, motherfucker. You've been there too. So anyway, let's get down to some true crime time for Hump Day Wednesday.
Yay. Okay, right. So we're going to start across the pond in England.
Across the pond.
So a UK man is speaking out about his ex-girlfriend's abuse, including controlling his diet, biting him, and preventing him from using the toilet. After it caused him to lose over 60 pounds, and
what caused him to?
She calls him with his diet.
Control. No, I thought you said actor.
Yeah. Right. After all of that abuse. Yeah.
After. I thought you said actor.
No, after. She got sentenced to 20 months in prison. So they met online in July of 2021. And they sparked a really good relationship, and everything was great between Gareth Jones and Sarah Rigby. Both were 41, according to the Cheshire Police Department. And while speaking about the early days of the relationship with Sarah, Gareth says, "I guess it could have been love bombing. I thought, how could this person be so loving? I think back the way, you know, it took him aback, and you think that this could really be the one and this could work out." And it was overly powerful. And the facade crumbled quickly, however. Within months, Rigby's controlling nature became clear as she forced Jones to move into her Winsford home, where she asked him to pay rent despite the property being owned by her father.
Okay.
She soon took full control of his finances, cut him off from his loved ones, and put strict rules in place, they added, the police added.
It sounds like what men do to women normally.
Mm-hmm.
Not all men, y'all.
But obviously. Despite the fact that he worked from home, Jones was not allowed to be in the house alone and was never given a key to the property. Rigby also prevented him from using the toilet to defecate or shower, and she searched him as he entered and exited the house ensure.
Where did he go pee?
It's coming up.
Okay.
To ensure that he wasn't taking anything that she didn't approve of.
Okay.
Jones's diet also fell under Rigby's strict control. And if he didn't follow her orders, she would inflict various forms of abuse on him.
I can't wait to hear what this is.
From preventing him from eating to physically attacking him, which included biting, kicking, and scratching.
Okay.
She made me sleep on the floor with no covers if things weren't going her way as a punishment, Jones told the police. I wasn't allowed to shower or shave or use the toilet. I had to hold it in and try to make it down to the local supermarket or a pub or a restaurant.
Stop. I'm just sitting here the whole time trying to hold on. That first of all, we're pulling Mr. Jones' fucking man card.
That's what I was thinking.
They make me sleep on the floor with no blanket, and I got to go to the local supermarket and take a shit, but I don't tell anybody. I mean, if she had a gun on him the whole time or something, and you're going to kick and bite me, look, I don't believe in hitting a female unless you hit me first, motherfucker.
Right.
And then I'll knock your fucking teeth out.
Right.
So go ahead.
Okay. So to paint an even worse picture of the abuse, he recalls a trip that they made to London, and the couple visited Harrods, which obviously is
the big shopping store.
That's right. And she said, "We're not leaving until you buy me something expensive." She clawed me through my jumper. My arm was actually bleeding until she forced me into buying something expensive for her.
Oh, he would have done it anyway, fuck.
Exactly. She also verbally and psychologically abused Jones, calling him fat, ugly, and disgusting, police said. Coupled with the physical and financial abuse Rigby inflicted, this caused Jones to lose 63 pounds in just 2 months.
Well, sounds like hell of a diet plan.
But continuing to communicate with his mom and deleting his messages to avoid her abuse, Jones eventually snuck out to meet his mom for coffee. He added that his mom broke down in front of me upon learning of the situation.
I guess you would. I'm breaking down for him too.
Right. And he said, "I thought, I can't put my family through this any longer. They were imploring me to leave." In March 2022, Jones decided to seek help from Mankind Initiative, which is a UK charity that provides support for male victims of domestic abuse. Mm. And his experience inspired him to go to the police. He left with only the clothes on his back, got therapy, and began rebuilding his finances and relationships from scratch. It knocked my confidence for a long time. I had low self-esteem because of the constant abuse. And over 2 years later, in May of 2024, Rigby was sentenced to 20 months in prison after pleading guilty to coercive and controlling behavior. Jones also got a 5-year restraining order against his former abuser. And according to the Cheshire Police, it was the worst case of controlling and coercive behavior ever seen. And she eventually pleaded guilty. And
Look, I'm certainly not making fun of domestic violence victims and shit like that. I've seen guys that, you know, cowed down and got their ass beat by the women and stuff like that. And we would have to erase the women. Arrest the women, and they'd get them back. But this is just fucking out there.
Yeah.
I mean, what was she, fucking 6'10", 400 pounds?
Right.
On that level, I mean, it's not like he didn't have his own place and he didn't have somewhere to go. Most of the time on the women, unfortunately, they're stuck because they have kids.
Right.
And the male is the breadwinner. And all that stuff. And in this case, I don't even want to say whatever I'm going to say, but I bet everybody out there listening knows what I want to say. But I hate all domestic violence and people who play people and shit like that. But at least this dude's alive. And I guess we're talking about him on Real Life Real Crime Daily. Has a hell of a bizarre story from across the pond, right?
For sure.
And what's our good buddy's name? It's an app. I was just reading this message a minute ago.
Tommy Thompson Cox.
Tommy. What the fuck's going on over there, Tommy? I don't know. So that, I shouldn't have said that about his man card and stuff, but I'm just kind of shocked because I've never heard anything like that. I mean, that's just purely psychological. A psychological on his part. So, okay. Let's roll out to Vegas.
I love Vegas. I know you don't, but I do.
You and I have been to Vegas together a lot over the years, mm-hmm. most of the time for fun. Not always. Mm-mm. We've done a lot for work, mm-hmm. podcasts, and I was guest speaker at on having podcast more yeah, at podcast mm-hmm. moving mm-hmm. on having more than one successful podcast. Mm-hmm.
We went for the NAD conference. Yeah,
NAD conferences and stuff like that. I've been for other conferences, but I've also in my former lifetime before podcasting, as you know, spent several weeks out there at a time working different types of cases. It's not my favorite place. I mean, everything's, you know, super expensive. I mean, I don't mind going like you and I would go and go pub crawling and stuff, right? During the daytime and stuff like that. But not going to be my first choice of a place to go. We got a lot of other places to go. But this lady, it was the last place she went, all right? And her name is Kristen Avalar. She's 46 years old. And, you like to go to Vegas because you like to get those handbags and luggage bags.
Like my Gucci store.
Yeah, right? Well, this lady got a luggage bag.
Okay.
But she was found dead inside of it.
Oh.
All right? So, and it was left near an apartment complex, so I imagine it wasn't a Gucci or a Louis. But the Las Vegas PD received a call about a possible deceased person in Paradise, Nevada, around 4:19 a.m. on October the 3rd. And that area, y'all, is an unincorporated township, kind of close to Las Vegas Strip. The Strip actually runs through it. Okay, so you look, the people see Las Vegas on news and they think it's just like the ritzy stuff. Mm-hmm. And the Strip is long as a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And then you got the Old End, Binion's and all that. And then close to the Old End is Pawn Stars and all that. One of my favorite Bloody Marys in that barbecue place.
Yes.
And then you go all the way to past Mandalay Bay and all that. Well, this is part of it. So they've responded to it and they found a woman's limp body stuffed inside a luggage bag near an apartment complex. All right. So the Clark County Coroner's Office identified the body as that of 46-year-old Kristen Avalar. Isn't that a singer?
No, Aguilera. Kristen
Aguilera, okay. Mm. Stephanie Wheatley of the Coroner's Office said that the cause and manner of Avalar's death are still pending. And she says the autopsy would likely take up to 90 days to complete. Now, y'all, without reading any further, I can only tell you that's got to be because they're waiting on the hardcore narcotics testing to come back. Maybe some DNA. I don't know. But the homicide section of the Las Vegas PD took over the case because police say a suspicious nature of death.
Yeah.
Well, my mother, it's Captain fucking obvious. You found it inside a suitcase. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Now, we've had cases where people were rolled up in carpet and shit because there was an OD and they just wanted the body out mm-hmm. of the car. But I'm pretty sure they got more to go on. So anyway, they don't have any suspects at this time. And on her Facebook account, Avalar provided no public relationship status and said she lived in Vegas and described herself as a homemaker and that her profile was last updated on September 30th of 2023. In another update note on her page, she wrote, quotations, "Another day with rainbows and butterflies. Make the best of what you have to work with."
Well, that's positive.
Sure. I'm positive she's dead as fuck inside a suitcase now. So, I don't know, y'all. If you happen to be a lifer in Vegas and you know Miss Avalar, and hit up the homicide at lvmpd.com, or you can remain anonymous and contact Crime Stoppers at 702-385-5555. And that's pretty crazy.
It's crazy.
I'll show you a picture of her. So I'm pretty sure they're going to arrest somebody. You know, Vegas is kind of like Orlando. Mm-hmm. Nobody that lives there is from there.
All transient.
Yeah. And naturally, it's for the businesses and all that. I'm not throwing shit on Vegas. I mean, I actually like Vegas. I think I told the story before about the White Rabbits.
I was going to ask you too.
I think I might have told it on the Daily Show before.
You probably have.
So I was doing surveillance at this wedding. I won't say what type of nationality or whatever. It was bizarre to fucking begin with. And I'm sitting in this parking lot. It's nighttime. And I see this big ass fucking white rabbit. I'm like a 5 or 6 pound rabbit. I'm like, look at that son of a bitch. And then I see another one and I'm like, what am I on acid or something? And they had pink or red eyes, and they were the everywhere. Albinos. I saw like 50 or 60 white rabbits. Yeah. I'm like, holy fuck, this is the one of Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. I'm like, holy fuck. But then I looked it up and somebody had bought it as a pet and
they reproduced and threw it out.
Yeah,
they effed like rabbits.
Effed like rabbits. And evidently that's a real deal. So anyway, I don't know. I'm sure we'll be going back at some point. But anyway, y'all help Miss Avalar out if you can.
Yes, for sure. Well, in Washington State.
And we could eat them rabbits.
We would eat their rabbits. And yeah, for sure. Well, I would eat the rabbits.
Yeah, you would fry it. It tastes better than chicken.
So a Washington State man was sentenced to life in prison after killing his ex-girlfriend and her 7-year-old daughter.
Oh, Lord.
This case just really, I don't want to read about it, but this is real life, real crime, right?
Hey, you're talking about it.
I know. Well, I am talking about it, but I didn't want to read about it to be able to talk about it.
You can't be a guest host on the show anymore. I mean, you got to toughen up, motherfucker.
I do have to toughen up. I haven't cried on one
God.
Show.
If you cry, I'm leaving.
So, Clark County Superior Court judge sentenced Kirkland Warren.
That's Clark County? That's Vegas, isn't it? No, that's you say in Washington.
Washington State, yeah. So,
Clark County, Nevada, I'm pretty sure is close to Vegas, but go ahead.
That's true. This Kirkland Warren, 28, was sentenced to life in prison without parole on Tuesday, October 8th, just before his trial was supposed to start. So in September,
he must take a plea.
He did. He pleaded guilty to first degree aggravated murder and second degree murder in connection with the March 23rd shooting deaths of his ex-girlfriend, Michelle Melendez, 27, and her daughter, Layla Stewart. Warren was first named a person of interest in the disappearance and subsequent deaths of the mother and daughter who were last seen alive on the morning of March 12th, 2023. He was just a boyfriend. An acquaintance told investigators they saw Melendez that morning passed out in the passenger seat of Warren's car,
wonder if she was passed out or dead out.
Right. Yeah. And then Warren then brought Layla into the car from inside the apartment.
Which is the kid.
And drove away.
Yeah.
10 days later, on March 22nd, the bodies of Melendez and Layla were found in a rural area in nearby Washougal, Washington.
Washougal. Spell it.
W-A-S-H-O-U-G-A-L.
Okay.
Does that sound about right?
I have no idea.
Where the Clark County Sheriff's Office responded to a 911 call. The person reported sighting what appeared to be life-size mannequins.
Mm.
According to the police statement, autopsy.
Somebody saw mannequins.
Yes, and they called 911. Life-size mannequins.
Pretty sure.
But it had been 10 days.
If I'm not calling 911, I understand that, and I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm not calling 911 for a fucking mannequin.
Right.
They must have smelled something.
They must have.
Yeah. I mean, you don't call 911 when you go by the department store window and they got mannequins in the window.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't understand after 10 days of decomposition that they would look like mannequins. But according to the police statement, autopsies determined that both the mother and daughter had been fatally shot with the same gun. The 7-year-old had suffered
So that means they had to recover projectiles to match the bullets.
Right. And the daughter had suffered 2 bullet wounds to the head.
Nice.
While Melendez sustained a single gunshot to her left temple.
I bet he had already choked her to death before he got the kid in the car and then went out there and shot the kid twice and shot her to make it look like a murder-suicide.
So court documents state that the girl was found naked from the waist down, which prompted investigators to obtain samples from the girl's body to determine whether she had been sexually assaulted.
All right, typical.
Those samples were then linked to Warren, where they additionally accused him of raping the 7-year-old before killing her.
Jeez.
So,
I hope Washington has fucking death penalty.
So prior to the bodies being found, he had been arrested on a parole violation, a witness tampering charge, and violation of a no-contact order, with Melendez being the alleged victim. Authorities claimed that he threatened Melendez into dropping the charges and assaulted her. So he threatened her.
Yeah, typical, like we talked about in that English guy story.
He was later indicted on murder charges in connection with the deaths of Melendez and Layla, and additionally charged with child rape. And he had not...
They're going to fuck him up in prison.
Yeah, he obviously pleaded guilty.
He must have the death penalty if he pled guilty, because no lawyer is going to plead their client to life in prison.
Yeah. So the plea means Warren accepts...
Does Washington State have the death penalty?
Okay, I found this on the web for Does Washington State Have a Death Penalty? Check it out.
Go ahead.
So this is what I had a question about. In addition to him pleading guilty to the murders, he entered an Alford plea.
Yes.
To first-degree child molestation for sexually assaulting the 7-year-old. The plea means Warren accepts the conviction while simultaneously maintaining his innocence.
Same thing like a nolo contendi.
Okay.
It basically doesn't really dig for it. Oh, you know, the Alford plea is like in the Memphis 3, where they've been in prison for so long, the prosecutor's not quite sure if they did or didn't do it, but a lot of stuff comes up, and they'd be like, okay, well, you get taken out of a plea, which says, you know, we still find you guilty of it, but you're maintaining your innocence, and we'll let you out.
Yeah.
And Washington State does have the death penalty, according to Miss Siri.
Okay. Well, Miss Siri is always correct. So just the story goes on where on the day of that he says that he's guilty, the impact statements, and just how much everyone's going to get lost. And
if you're listening, if you have an illegal cell phone and you're listening in Washington State prisons, this piece of shit's coming to you, raped and murdered a little girl and killed her mama too. And fuck him. Yeah. And yeah, I guess it's a death penalty regardless. But some people don't deserve to breathe. I know a lot of people are against the death penalty, unless it was your little girl that got raped and murdered.
Yeah.
Right?
It's exactly.
Crazy as fuck. Crazy, crazy, crazy story. Well, I'm going to tell you, this is a sad story, but I mean, this dude's just going to work. Hey, y'all. One thing I've learned in 16 years of being with my wife is that PMS and menopause are a very real deal. Thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hey, do you experience cravings or bloating? Do you feel a little bit down or off? Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience bad sleep quality? Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, promotes healthy weight loss, and curbs carb cravings. It improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas, and it relieves hot flashes, and it relieves mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through premenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, and Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and occasional bloating and gas, or no desire to be intimate with someone, you know, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar, is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, my wife says, is feeling like herself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today. Hey, y'all. Changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got a 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater and heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later.
And he was a Manhattan Beach police officer named Chad Swanson. And it was back in October 2023. He's riding his motorcycle to work, mm-hmm. and he got killed.
Oh.
Yep. And, but you think, I mean, you know, one of my good friends, Ben Smith, got killed riding his motorbike, and another one, and these were motorcycle cops. Another one got, Jerry Wooster, had somebody turn out in front of him in a funeral procession, fucked them all up. You know, so these guys die all the time, but they're like super trained, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, a Compton resident has been charged in the death of the police officer after causing the fatal crash. Now, check this out. So, on Tuesday, October the 8th, the Los Angeles County District Attorney, George Gasson, announced charges against Raymond Eugene Sanders for causing the October 4, 2023 death of the Manhattan Beach police officer, Chad Swanson. Now, Sanders is 68 years old, y'all. And he's charged with one count of vehicular manslaughter without gross negligence, which is a misdemeanor. And this is per a press release from the DA's office. So Swanson had been riding his patrol motorcycle to work at the cause of the time of death. You know, usually, depending where you live, like a lot of these city departments, you have to report in for a roll call.
Yeah.
I didn't ever have to do that. Well, I had to do it at Southeast, but not afterwards, because you report in a roll call, they give you a brief on what's mm-hmm. going on, et cetera. Well, if you're a motorcycle cop, you're right, that's your unit.
Okay.
Just let me drive my police car. So he was driving it. So, and Swanson had been riding his patrol motorcycle to work at the time of his death. He's a father of three, and he was killed on the 405 highway at Del Amo Avenue after the accident involving Sanders' vehicle at approximately 5:15 a.m. And, of course, they transformed to the hospital where any later and he died. Sanders is accused of improperly securing boxes of lighting fixtures to his truck and it caused several of them to fall onto the roadway. Mm-hmm. The investigators actually came out and worked this case. They determined that Sanders fucking up and not tying the shit down correctly, it was the key factor in the crash. But this is
a highly trained officer. So imagine how bad it was. Like if.
Yeah, right. You know. Well, I'm talking about that in just a second. So they said the life of Officer Swanson, a husband and a father of three young children, was tragically cut short. He had honorably served the Manhattan Beach community for 13 years. And his loss is a profound one, felt by his family, colleagues, and all who knew him. And this case is a grim reminder of the devastating consequence of negligence on our roads. Drivers must always remain vigilant and cautious. Failure to do so can cost lives, and those who act recklessly and put others in danger will be held accountable. Yeah, let me tell you about this. To this day, first of all, I have one of my good friends when I was in the Guard, in the National Guard in Louisiana, Tracy. She was going around the turn right by the state capitol in Baton Rouge. And y'all, you're not from here. It's a big-ass turn on the I-110. Mm-hmm. And she was riding behind a truck that was loaded with pipe, and the fucking pipe came off and killed her in her car. I remember another one. Scary Vines, who's a retired state trooper who worked for my dad as a PI back at the time, he was in the same fucking spot and somebody's mattress had flown off. And this wasn't directly like this officer here, but he actually got out to remove the mattress from the roadway and he got run over. But I've seen shit. People, look, you follow the motherfucker down the road, especially around the time of the first of the month when people are moving and they got trailers loaded down with shit look like the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
Don't follow them motherfuckers closely.
No.
You don't know if they were drunk or they're like me and incompetent at tying shit down using ratchet straps. I'm serious as fuck. I back the fuck up from them because you just never know what's going to blow off. It might be somebody, look, for every person out there that's an expert in tying shit down, there's somebody out there on the other end of the spectrum who's going to haul shit and not even tie it down.
Not even.
So y'all, our hearts go out to this officer and got killed ultimately for just going to work and didn't even make it there. But it happens all the time. And look, we got all these log trucks and shit around here. It's a big industry. Old trucks. Things like that where they're hauling the pipe and then the steel. And I'm like, fuck you. Now, most of those big rig drivers are professionals and that's why they ain't tying down their shit as part of what they do. But I don't know what y'all think about. I always wonder about the competency of the motherfucker that tied that load down.
Yeah, of course.
And my daddy would tell me a story about following one of those log trucks at like 8:15 in the morning. And it's loaded up and looks a little sketchy anyway. He said, and then the driver rolls down his window and throws out a bottle of whiskey.
Oh my.
That was empty. And so you just don't never know who you're around. So what you do is be aware and give yourself some extra space behind those people because you just don't know.
Go around them if you could.
If you safely can, go around them but watch the fuck out because it takes all kinds, not just serial killers and angels, but people can tie shit down. People can't.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
That's true. Very, very true. Well, do you want to go to Houston?
H-Town.
This is another disturbing story.
Real crime.
I know. A Houston mother whose three children were found abandoned and living with their 8-year-old brother's decomposing body in 2021 has pleaded guilty to charges.
A woman.
Mm-hmm. Whose three children were found abandoned.
All right.
Living with their 8-year-old brother's decomposing body.
So there's three children that are still alive, living with a dead body.
In an apartment.
All right.
So the decomposing body has been there since 2021, and the kids have been living there since that time with the decomposing body.
Okay.
Listen, because it's really messed up. So she pleaded guilty to charges related to her son's death. So
can't wait to hear about this.
Exactly. One. Gloria Williams pleaded guilty to two charges of injury to a child last week, according to Harris County court records. The charges stem from her 8-year-old son, Kendrick Lee's murder in March of 2021. In April of 2024, Williams' boyfriend, Brian Coulter, was sentenced to life in prison for beating the 8-year-old boy to death.
Okay.
A Houston judge told Coulter, 34 at the time, that the case was one of the most horrific set of facts that I've ever had to witness, to listen to, or to image in her career. So this is even as messed up as the 8-year-old boy, like, dead, decomposed in that apartment with the other three kids.
Right.
So Williams' three children, ages 7, 9, and 15, had been abandoned in the family's apartment for several months with the skeletal remains of their brother. The mother continued to pay rent and send food to that apartment once a month for these kids. So the apartment was in horrible condition. We saw soiled carpet, no furniture at all, no bedding, no blankets. They couldn't see. There was nothing but roaches and flies.
What was Mama doing?
Mama was living with the boyfriend. She had moved out of the apartment in March.
After the 8-year-old was dead, after he beat him to death.
Uh-huh. So eventually, the oldest son contacted police and told them of what was going on. And so that's how the police found the apartment and the decomposing son, and everything added up. And, you know, now she's being sentenced, and the boyfriend was
sentenced. How long did she get?
She got...
I can answer for you. You don't have to answer.
Yeah,
not
me.
Enough.
Not enough.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Unless she's sitting in Huntsville about to get fucking executed.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I don't understand. I don't know how people that is, well, that's just a special place in hell for that bitch and that dude. And, you know, I've been inside Texas prisons, not as a prisoner, but as an investigator, they are not nice places. But I can't imagine his kids. How about the motherfucker that delivered the groceries?
I know.
That motherfucker needs to go to jail too.
I know.
And everybody else involved with it. Fuck them motherfuckers.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to tell you another one. Keeping in the joyous nature of the show, there's a little dude named Jiri High. And it's J-I-R-Y-I-A-H Johnson. And he died, and he was 1 year old.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and a Texas woman is charged with injury to a child after police say the 1-year-old boy, this is really going to fuck you up, was mauled to death by pit bulls.
Oh, my God.
Look at that sweet little baby.
Oh, sweet baby.
Yeah. It's fucked up. The bear, but it's spelled B-E-X-A-R. Thank you to whichever life told me that. And that's, I know that's around San Antonio.
Yep.
Bear County Sheriff Javier Salazar said during a press briefing that Heather Rodriguez, 36, was arrested after leaving the boy that she was babysitting. That's a little Jiri Johnson. And she left him with her 13-year-old daughter in a home with the dogs on Monday, October the 7th, all right?
Jeez.
Salazar says that while Jiri High was in a room with the 13-year-old in a separate room from the dogs, the animals were able to break into the room and began attacking the children. Now, at one point, the girl who did her best to protect the 1-year-old was engaged in a tug of war with the dog for the boy. Now, the girl was able to get into a bathroom with Jiri High, but the dogs again broke through the door. Can you imagine that?
No.
Salazar said he believed four dogs were involved in the attack, and they also injured the 13-year-old, and that animal control would ultimately decide if the pit bulls would be put down. Well, they're getting put down.
Yeah.
Jeremiah eventually died from his injuries, which included a badly damaged windpipe, which prevented him from breathing on his own. Don't you start crying. Rodriguez was charged with injury to a child with intent, causing serious bodily injury, injury to a child causing reckless bodily injury, and endangering a child in imminent danger causing bodily injury. And this is according to the sheriff's office. Salazar says that there was another incident involving Rodriguez's dogs, during which a person called the sheriff's office after a pit bull prevented the caller from getting out of their car. Sheriff added that he did not believe Jeremiah's parents knew about the prior incident when they allowed Rodriguez to babysit their son. That's 1 year old. You think about that. We got a grandbaby now, and you got a 1 year old. I guess you think you're getting a break, right? That new parent should, and you trust in this person. So first of all, not to leave the 1 year old home with a 13-year old. Because she was there. She just left him. She left him with a 13-year-old daughter. And the 13-year-old tries to save the 1-year-old. And it's just bad.
It's just bad. But the dogs, like, those dogs had to have been trained killers.
No, that's not true. Absolutely not true. Now I got to tell a story. And I've told this, I think, on the Real Life Real Crime Original. I was backed up in the Springfield Police Department one night doing paperwork on Sunday night, right at dark, and I kept seeing all the fire vehicles go by. Mm-hmm. And I figured, I didn't go to every call they went to. They might have medical emergency or whatever. And then I got a call, and they said, 61, you need to go to whatever residence. And I said, why? And they said, you just need to go. And then so I get there, and I meet the fire chief, Brian, I think it's Brian Drew is his name, and pull up to the house and all the emergency vehicles there and shit. And Brian met me outside and said, what is this? He says, bad one, dude. And he said, we had to call you out. I said, okay. I said, what happened? He said, this couple, I think they were in their late 60s, maybe 70, I don't know, had a pit bull like this. They had raised since the time it was a puppy.
Yeah.
And now it was like 10 years old. Never showed any kind of violence or whatever. It was getting dark. And the husband told the wife, he was in the garden. He said, it was summertime. He said, go put the dog up. And they had a big fenced in yard for nice area, not a small area, like a big ass area. And she went to put him in the fence and she tripped and fell. And when she tripped and fell, he attacked her. And the husband, later on, I would interview him. She died. Later on, I would interview him. And he said that the dog was on top of her, and these dogs are fucking big. It's like, 150 plus pounds.
Right.
And he's pulling it off. Like, she's trying to get this dog off this 1 year old. And he said, I would hold the dog as long as I could, but all he wanted to do was get back to her. Yeah. And he said, I'd have to let go. And as soon as I did, meat would start flying. He's tearing her up. And when I walked around the back of the house, I said, where is she? And Brian said, she's sitting in the kitchen. They're getting ready to roll her out. But she was sitting up in the chair. And I could see the holes in her head with brain sticking out.
Yeah.
But what fucked me up was when they lifted the back of her neck, I could see her spinal column. So we had to call their adult son over after they took her, and he put the dog down, which was going to happen anyway.
Right.
And it had to be sent to LSU for rabies test, whatever, but it doesn't matter. It didn't have it. The thing is, you just don't know.
I know.
And it's not a Rottweiler's fault or pit bull's fault or whatever. It's just the way it is. And it's fucked up.
It is. Well, the scar on my face is a pit bull Dalmatian mix, and I got very lucky.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know about that. That baby's dead. I remember my daddy had a case, and he called me. His office was there in Clinton at the time on the hill, and it's real steep steps. Well, you know that because you got used to work there.
Yeah.
But not for him. He used to do Real Life Real Crime there. And he had a call, and it was the parents that brought their son there, and he was in a wheelchair, and he was like 5 or 6, and he was bandaged. He looked like a mummy.
Oh.
And then my daddy called me to come help get him up the stairs into the office. And what happened was he was at his grandparents' house, and they had raised, I don't know if it's pit bulls or Rottweilers, whatever, for however long. And the little boy, the dogs attacked him and tore him up, like fucking almost killed him.
Oh,
and this is back in the early 80s, mm-hmm. I would guess. So we're not throwing shade on any certain breed or type right. of dog. Shit happens, but it's fucking horrible regardless, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you have problems, your dog has attacked somebody before, then, yeah, I don't know about that one.
Right.
That's a different story. But like this, you just can't throw all dog breeds in as bad. You can't classify this like classifying all, whatever race of people bad. That doesn't yeah. work. But there certainly are bad ones out there.
Yeah.
So that's it. And, I don't know. Yeah,
well, like you said, the couple had that dog for 10 years and it had never exhibited that behavior. Yeah, so it was just a taste of blood.
I don't know. I'm never going to know. But shit happens and it's horrible.
I know.
But that other little girl, I don't know, prayer for the baby and the parents, that's the ones and really losing the situation. I can't imagine losing your child in any way, but especially like that. You drop them off and you think they're going to be safe and it is what it is. So. But y'all, that's all we're going to do for today. We'll talk about a couple of things, real life, real crime. One, the Real Life, Real Crime community app. I go there first to answer things. You go to the app store and download it for free. And it has everything Real Life, Real Crime in it, from forums to games to our merch store to every episode. What else, Sam?
I mean, everything that you
prizes,
just listed.
Yeah, prison biscuits for all kinds of stuff. And
yes.
So because of the amount of social media we have, I do go there and check first. And I think, how many members is it already?
Almost 33,000.
33,000 people get first bite of the app. I'm going to answer you in there, and then we'll go to the rest of them. But y'all go download it for free. We also do have a subscription service in there. We're calling Convicts. It's kind of like Patreon on other things. And we also have Patreon. If you don't want to get an app, I get that. And Patreon members and Convicts, you are really about to get hammered with all the stuff. We're starting a new series on November 1, #Justice4. That's a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the first episode. And you've heard me talk about it before, but you can hear me talk about it again. So much of this case is on video, although we will be playing audio excerpts mm-hmm. from it. We're going to put all of the video and I'm talking about like 20, 30, 40 hours worth of right. interrogations and crime scene footage and what we can show you from autopsy and stuff like that, because we're not going to be disrespectful to the victim.
Right.
Just some things you got to show that, and I was talking to the victim's mom about this, but some things you got to show. Well, first of all, it's what happened. Your daughter was murdered,
mm-hmm.
right? But we're not showing bare breast or naked body parts or anything like right. that could show. The facts are in the crime scene. The disturbing, mind-blowing things that are in the crime scene are real. And
right.
you need to see that to feel the pain. And feel. I mean, the family got up and walked out during court, as most do when these type of things are shown. But homicide is brutal by nature. And for once, we have everything.
Everything.
Witness interview, every whatever, all the way through stuff. And I'm not going to tell you what happened yet because we don't want them to know we're coming and we're going to need y'all's help. But anyway, my reason of saying that is all the videos and all that audio and all that stuff is going up behind Patreon and Convicts. Well, now why? You say it's about making money. Really, it's not. It's about you're going to get to hear the things on the Real Life Real Crime
right.
or on the #Justice4, you're going to get to hear the bits and pieces of it. You're not going to get to see it, but to go see it, you're going to have to agree to not to copy
mm-hmm.
or display this because there's no reason for you to do it.
Right.
But you need to see it. If you're able, you need to see it to realize. Yeah, I'm going to tell a story.
Right.
But you can use some words as one thing. Seeing the photographs and seeing the videos and cops' reactions and, this bad guys' reactions and everything else, it's a whole different monster.
Yeah.
And this family needs our help, and we're going to give it to them. Other changes coming. The contracts end, things happen, nothing bad.
No.
Nothing bad at all. But so there'll be some other changes coming on November 1st, you know, to shows and stuff like that. And we'll explain all that to you, I guess, next week or whenever.
Yeah.
But bringing it all back home over to them.
Yeah. Right. So for sure.
We love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for tuning in and listening and liking and sharing. And still our prayers go out to everybody recovering from the hurricanes. We get it. Been there. Again, it's like being a homicide family victim. Remember, you never get it unless you're going through it.
For sure.
You're living it. We get it. We're in prayer for y'all. And everybody, enjoy yourself and all that good stuff for hump day.
That's right.
Right? So until next time, I'm your host, Woody Overton.
And I'm Cindy Overton.
And until next time, peace.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.